name, Prince of Peace, my God, O Lord God Almighty.
O Lord of Lords, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord of Lords, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Welcome this morning. It's wonderful to see you all and join together in worshiping and praising God this morning. We are thankful for each one of you and hope to be able to visit with you more after this service is over. But it's a joy to be together on a beautiful first day of the week. For those of you that might like to know more about the memorial service for Karen's mother, who passed away this past week, there's going to be a memorial service at the Central Kitsap Church of Christ in Silverdale. It's going to be on Saturday, July the 26th at 1 p.m. So if you would care to attend that, We would love for you to be there with her, with us, for that occasion. Karen's mother was a beautiful lady, a wonderful mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother to her family. And she leaves behind 6 children, 28 grandchildren, 71 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. Total of 106 altogether, not counting her son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. So we were fortunate to be able to spend quite a bit of time with her the last week of her life. Made a number of trips over there almost every day, and got to sit by her bedside and hold her hand and tell her how much we loved her, sing songs to her, pray with her. And so we're confident that she was prepared, and she knew that she was ready to leave this life, and she did so with grace and dignity. So we will miss her, but we're happy for her at the same time. And as I told her, thank you for raising such a beautiful daughter. And she looked at me and said, well, you take good care of her. So I promised her that I will certainly always do my very best to do that. But we're happy to be here this morning and appreciate all of you. And I'd like to invite you now to turn to Luke chapter 11. And as we think about Father's Day today, many of us, our own fathers have already passed away from this life, but I'd like for us to think this morning about our Father in heaven, the Father that we all have in common. And in Luke chapter 11, we're going to be thinking about the theme of asking my Father. So I'd like to begin by reading here in Luke 11, beginning with verse 1 through 13. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We see that the disciples here saw something in Jesus' daily life of prayer that they desired to have. They realized was a weakness, something that they desired, but something that they found difficult in their life to have that type of close relationship with God that they could see that Jesus was having. And so the first thing that we see here in this text that we have read this morning is the priority of prayer. It said, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Luke is the gospel that emphasizes the fact that Jesus, it was a normal activity for Jesus to pray in his life. And it was something that the disciples, being with him on a daily basis, they observed this and they were impressed. And it was something that they desired to know more and to be able to gain and develop and have this type of relationship that they could see that Jesus had with God. Luke emphasizes the fact that in Luke 5 and verse 16, it said that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This was a daily part of his life, and it was very appealing to the disciples. I think we're all honest as Christians. We have to realize that prayer is a difficult thing for us to grow in this area sometimes of our lives. Not because we don't understand the concept of prayer, not because we don't have an ability to pray, but it's simply the fact that many of us do not feel that closeness with God, that we are drawn automatically and as a feeling of vitality in our very life to spend that time in prayer each and every day. It was that the disciples realized in the life of Jesus. They could see that prayer was a priority in his life, that really as they looked at the life of Jesus, it was evident that this was the secret of his life. This was the power of his life, that he was in constant communion and contact with his Father. And it was that type of relationship that caused them to say, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. John evidently taught his disciples a way of prayer. Many leaders, religious leaders and teachers did this at that time, were told that they would sometimes give their disciples a prayer and teach them, this is how you pray. We don't have the prayer that John taught his disciples or what he said exactly to them, but the disciple here was asking Jesus, we want you to teach us to pray. And we want to learn to pray the way we see you praying. And so, because of that, we see that Jesus here, they saw this priority in his life and asked this very question, teach us to pray. Now, they did not say, teach us a prayer to recite. They said, teach us to pray. And the prayer that we see that Jesus gives us here, it was not intended to be a prayer that we simply recite. There is no other place in the New Testament after this where we see the early Christians using these exact words in prayer. What we do see them doing is taking the principles that Jesus gives here and praying other prayers, many other prayers, that were genuine and sincere and meeting their needs and asking God for those very types of things that Jesus teaches us here. The fact that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 13, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gave a very similar, what we sometimes refer the Lord's Prayer, and yet the wording here in Luke is not the same. That should show us that this prayer wasn't intended to be used that way, as it sometimes is. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer, word for word, but it's better, I believe, for us to understand the principles that Jesus is teaching here, that these are a way to pray. It's a model prayer. It's an example of how we learn to pray to our Father. And so secondly, we see that there's a pattern here that is given to us in how we ought to pray. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so we see that the prayer that Jesus gives here is a very simple one. And that prayer, by its very nature, is a simple way of simply talking with God. And wanting to depend on God and show God all through our life how we are relying upon him. We might compare it that a husband who is away from his wife on a business trip will call home on his cell phone daily, maybe several times in a day, to see how his wife is doing, to tell her what he has been doing. Prayer, as the disciples observed Jesus, could see that he had that kind of a relationship with his Father, and he was often out there. They would see him in these moments of prayer. And Luke emphasizes that at every significant time in Jesus' life, from his baptism to when he was appointing his disciples, to when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, at every important stage of his life, he was out there spending time in prayer with God because he relied upon that. And that was the source of his strength for him as he faced the temptations and trials that he was going through. So Jesus here, as he explains to them and gives them, first of all, we see that he makes it clear that prayer is about the Father. And it was Jesus here who teaches us in the New Testament that when we address God, we come to Him as Father. Something that was not ever found really in the Old Testament. When people prayed in the Old Testament, they would say things like, Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, things of that nature to show the greatness of God. But when we come to the New Testament, the thing that is so noteworthy, we see here how that Jesus says, call upon God, Father, our Father. And it's this relationship that we can have with God that is very intimate that we have with God. So there's no ornate language. There's no elaborate long prayer that Jesus is teaching here. But in a very simple way, that it is about the Father and the relationship we have with Him. And it's about honoring Him and His will. He says, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the priority that Jesus gives in prayer is about God honoring Him, exalting His name, and recognizing the importance of understanding and following His will, that His will be done, that His kingdom will come here on this earth, and it will be spread and continued throughout the world. But then prayer is also about our needs. And as we look at prayer here, we see that Jesus, in very simple terms, he says that we should pray about our daily bread. When we think about our daily bread, it is obvious that it is letting us know that the very basic necessities of life, we receive those from God. And not just our bread, but our food in general and other necessities of life, they come directly from the Father. So we need to go to Him and ask that these things, that He will supply these needs in our lives. But we also acknowledge as we speak to our Father that we are sinful people and that we recognize that we admit that to God. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Not only the fact that we are sinful in our lives and that we constantly come to God and acknowledge that and ask His forgiveness, but also the fact that we understand that we are vulnerable, we're weak, and that we are faced with the temptations of Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion. We live in this world and we constantly are subject to the temptations of this life, as Jesus was. And yet in the book of Hebrews it says that Jesus was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. But we cannot make that statement that it was without sin, because we are vulnerable. So we ask God and we ask Him, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus provided here a model of an example of principles that we can take and use to then put these thoughts into our own words and pray to God, not in a rote way, but in a genuine, heartfelt, sincere way. We can come to God and we can have a close relationship that we actually know God as our Father and come to Him for our daily needs with confidence that He is able to meet those needs in our lives. At this time then, Jesus continued and He told them a story, as He often did with the parables that we are looking at in these last recent weeks. As we examine some of the parables of Jesus, we see that here, again, is a parable that Jesus then told. As a result, they have been asking Him, Lord, teach us to pray. So He gives them a parable to help drive these things home for them to understand better. So he speaks about a man here that a traveler came, an unexpected guest. Late at night, one night, a man with his family, after they had all gone to bed, a traveler showed up at their home. He said, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come on his journey and I have nothing set before him.'" So here was a typical thing that could happen, probably did happen. Sometimes that people would be traveling at night after sundown, and when it was a little cooler perhaps, but this man did not know that this guest was coming, evidently. So he didn't have the food for him. One of the duties of expected in their culture that was to be expected of a host was that they would provide a meal for the person that came from traveling, and this man coming on a long journey. It was customary that he would provide him a meal, even though he came at night and arrived late after the family was all. Still, it was to be expected that he was hungry and that the host would be supposed to give him a meal. And yet there was no food in the cupboard. And so it created a dilemma here for this man, how he could supply the need to his guest here on this occasion late at night, as he had come and apparently they didn't expect he was going to show up at this time, but he did. And so the stores would have been closed, the marketplaces at night. There was nowhere to run down and get some food for him. And so he went to his friend's house. He went to his friend and he began knocking on the door. Well, in those days, it was obvious that most people, it was just a large one-room house. And the family, they would all be sleeping on mats on the floor. And the children would all be asleep. And here, late at night, at midnight, the door would be bolted. During the day, many people left their door open, and people could come and go freely. But at night, the door would be bolted, and the man was knocking on the door, and the man did not come. He did not get up. Well, obviously, they were asleep, and his family were all sleeping. For him to get up and go walking over his family and unlock the bolt of the door would wake everyone up. And so he was very reluctant to get up under those circumstances. And so he spoke to him, and as he did, he said, "Do not trouble me. The door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." But Jesus said, "I say to you that though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So what Jesus is saying is, this man didn't really want to get up at night, but he did get up. He did get up and he did give him the loaves of bread, as many as he needed. And the reason for that was not because it was his friend, but it was because of his persistence. He was able to realize the neighbor, they had such of a relationship that they understood that you wouldn't do this under normal circumstances. People would not get up and go over and be banging on the door of their neighbor late at night to get a cup of sugar. It was something urgent that must have happened, and because of that, the man did eventually get up out of bed and go and unbolt the door and get the bread that his neighbor needed, because it was an emergency situation. It was an urgent thing, and it was an important thing that he be able to provide the customary meal for a guest, that even under these difficult circumstances, still to observe that hospitality and to show this guest that had come that he was able to provide for him. So it was because of his persistence that he did get up and supply this. I think about several months ago, back in February, that it was on a Saturday night, and 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. And I woke up and I got the phone, and it was my son-in-law, it was Nick. And Nick says, "Paul," he says, "I hate to do this, but Mandy is in a lot of pain, and I need to take her to the hospital. Can you come and watch the boys?" And I said, "Nick, I'll be there in 5 minutes." It was a Saturday night, and I was going to have to preach the next morning, and I need my sleep, and I'm half asleep. But honestly, 5 minutes later, I was at their home. Why? Because it was an urgent situation, and I understood that. Nick would not be calling me for something trivial, but this was not trivial. This was an important situation. And so that was what was happening here with this guest. Because of the urgency of the situation, the man got up and he gave the food that his neighbor was needing. Now, what is the point of that? Because we see here that Jesus is saying, "I say to you that though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." And so it is because of the persistence. And this word is a word that actually it means boldness. It means audacity. It even means shamelessness. That here the man was willing to do the unthinkable thing. The thing that no one under normally would do, to wake up your neighbor in the middle of the night, and yet he did it because he was shameless. He had a situation that he had no other choice, and so he went to his neighbor under those circumstances. And because of the urgency of his need, he woke up his family, his friend, who was asleep. And the point that Jesus is wanting us to say is that when our Father, when we pray to our Father, it's a contrast, not a comparison, between our Father and how we go to our Father is not that we are pestering him, or not that we are imposing on him in some way, but in the case of when we pray to our Father in heaven, it is because he is a loving Father who is all the more willing to hear our prayer and give us those needs that we have. So in our case, our friend at midnight is not a sleepy neighbor, it is a loving Father that we have. So if a neighbor who is asleep with his family is willing to get up and answer the door and provide what his neighbor needed, then so much more will our Father in heaven give the things to his children that we need. So let us think now about the principles of prayer that Jesus is explaining to us here. First of all, there is the principle of persistence. There's a principle of persistence. And so he says, "I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Actually, the wording of this in the original language is, "Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking." So it is a persistent that as we pray to God, the faith that we have in our Father, that the request that we have for our needs will be answered. God is able and He is willing to supply those needs that we have. And so we come to the Father not expecting a refusal, not with an attitude that He is first going to refuse us and we have to continue to try to persuade Him to give us those things that we need. The point is actually that He is not going to be that way. The point is that our Father is the opposite of that. That our Father is going to be willing to give us the things that we need when we come to Him. But we need to be persistent. We need to be willing to come boldly to Jesus and to our Father, knowing that that is where our needs can be met. The things that we truly need in life will be met. Now, as Jesus was speaking here, He says that this man, He would get up and give him everything that he needs. There is a limitation that we understand as we think about those things, that He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, is this suggesting, though, that everything we ask God is going to be given to us? And the answer is no. We understand that the reason for that is because God, it would be dangerous to us for Him to do that. For God to give us everything we ask Him, He would be giving us things that we don't need and are not good for us. And so, no, it is not suggesting that everyone who asks receives. No matter what we ask, it is going to be given to us, and whatever we seek we will find, and whatever we knock for will be open. But the point of it is that God, who is our wise Heavenly Father, a God of perfection, knows the things that we need. And God will supply the things that are best for us. Sometimes we pray and our prayer doesn't seem to be answered immediately. We understand that. And so we knock and we ask and we continue asking and seeking. But we do that with the confidence that, Father, give me the things that are good for me. Give me the things that I need. And we have the confidence that God is very willing to do that for us. Jesus also, though, as a principle, He explains to us that human fathers, as flawed as they often can be, still try to give their children what they need. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Obviously, no. Fathers are imperfect. All of us as fathers, we're imperfect. We make many mistakes with our children. If anything, sometimes what we intend to do is spoil our children. We want to give them everything that they ask for. And that's not good. But still, even a father that is far from perfect loves his children. He will try to give his children what they need and what he believes is good for them. But if that is true, think what our Heavenly Father will do for His children. You see, how much more will our Father? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? When we look at the comparison between the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gives a very similar wording of the what we say, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 there. But as he is making this particular point there in Matthew chapter 6, how much more will your Father in heaven say, give good things to those that ask him? But here in Luke, he says, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, as we study the New Testament, we learn that prior to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. In John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 39, Jesus was speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit there. In John chapter 7, he spoke about this some there. And he said, on that last day, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But after the day of Pentecost, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2 and verse 38, we're told that, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So as Christians, we're promised that we would have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is making the point here that the Father will give us the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father will give us spiritual things and spiritual blessings that we need. So as we consider the good things that our Father in heaven is willing to give us, we understand that primarily those have reference to spiritual blessings. Now, as he already made clear, that we can go to God and we can say, give us this day our daily bread. We look to God to take care of the physical needs that we have. But far more important than that is that God is concerned for us with the spiritual blessings of life that we have. And it's those things that Jesus came down from heaven to supply for us. And those are the things that ought to be uppermost in our thoughts also when we go to God in our daily prayers. And Father, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us those spiritual blessings that you have in store for your children, we want to take full advantage of those. And we know that you are the one who is able to supply those for us in our life. Jesus here then told a parable. And it made clear the fact that prayer is the very essence of our life. It is the very lifeline. It is the oxygen that our spiritual lives require in order to survive each day. And that when we pray, we are admitting to God clearly that we need our Father. We rely upon Him for life, for strength, to supply the needs, that we cannot do it on our own. We need to be in constant communication with God. As we begin our day, throughout our day, we go to Him, we acknowledge Him. Father, we're going out into the world today. It's full of these temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A Christian lives by knowing and asking our Father for His help as we live here our daily lives in this world. Jesus then is teaching us a very important lesson. When He is asked the question, teach us to pray, He is teaching us the very essence of what prayer is all about. Prayer, you see, is about the Father. Prayer is about His will. Prayer is about relying upon Him, acknowledging our sin before Him, and asking Him to guide and direct us and help us to live in a way that is faithful to honor and glorify Him. Karen's mother, I believe, did that, and each and every one of us. It's a beautiful thing when we can come to the end of our life and look back upon our life and say, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. I have glorified you here on this earth. If you're subject this morning to the invitation of the gospel, we want to stand and sing the invitation. If you need to give your life to Christ this morning, if you need to surrender to Him in faith and repentance and baptism, we will be more than happy to assist you in that. But we exhort you and encourage you to grow in this area of your life and look at the example of Jesus and try to grow into that pattern of prayer that we see demonstrated in his life. We invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
All things are ready, come to the feast. Come for the table now is spread. Ye fed.